Good morning, everybody. So Pastor Dylan is out sick today. He had some sick kids this week, and I saw one of them coughing right on his face, so I didn't think he had a chance. So he's out sick, but I'm just covering for today. So I had a couple announcements for you guys. First of all, we have Trunk or Treat coming up, and we're going to need people to help with it, mainly doing trunks and supplying candy. So this is an amazing opportunity to love on our community. I always love getting out there and decorating a trunk and all of that. It's so much fun for the kids, and just to see faces in the community maybe you haven't seen in a while, and to connect and just to be a blessing and love on our community. So that's going to be October 28th from 3 to 5 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center in the foyer, so go ahead, get signed up, and put on your grocery list some candy. So let's make it an awesome trunk or treat this year. We have this upcoming Saturday, our monthly men's prayer breakfast, and that's just a time for guys to come together, have some food, and pray, and just fellowship. So it sounds like a great time. And then lastly, we have, and William, will you bring me up my phone, because Dylan wanted me to read something and I forgot it. But lastly, we have just a reminder that we are going to be having, thank you, a ladies event called Books and Blessings, and that is going to be just an event where ladies come together and we can exchange devotional books that maybe have impacted you, and have some, you know, like coffee, tea, all the things, warm fall drinks, and do a Bible study together. So we typically like to do something like this, get together, do a craft or some type of thing like that in the fall or winter. And it's just been a really big blessing the last few years to get together and do that. So if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, put that on your calendar. And then Pastor Dylan wanted me to read this to you all, because last Sunday we had our Serve Sunday. And that was amazing, wasn't it? That was just such a blessing. And he wanted to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was such a joy to serve our community last week with you all. I have heard so much positive feedback from people in the community. You all made such an incredible impact in such a short amount of time. And I'm so thankful for your willingness to step out and to do something unconventional on a Sunday morning. Worship comes in many different forms, and last week you all worshiped God publicly by serving your community. I'm proud of you all and the time and energy and effort you put into serving last Sunday. We will definitely be lining up another Serve Sunday in the future. Thank you all again so much. I was not able to be here because I was running a retreat, but it's funny because throughout the week I just heard different people in the community talking about it and being so excited and affected by the church's impact in the community. So thank you all. That was awesome. Okay, so that's enough for announcements. So if you guys will bow your heads with me, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into the message. Our Father, thank you for this time to be together Sunday morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for worship and your word. I pray that as we gather together this morning, that you would help us to learn, help us to grow, and help us to support one another. And so, God, as we talk about spiritual disciplines today, I pray that you would just spark something new in us. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today we are going to be discussing the topic of spiritual disciplines. Now, sometimes we kind of get this image of like a teacher scolding a child in class when we think of the word discipline. But we're talking about discipline in the sense of training. Athletes have to be disciplined in order to train. And we have to be disciplined in order to do different activities in our lives. And so this also affects our spiritual lives. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, let me see if my clicker will work here. Oh, wait, that's the laser pointer. let's see. Well, maybe not. Well, you guys are just going to have to trust me that this is what the Bible says, but if you want to touch it, Lawrence. You can also, if you've got your Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. It says this, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." And I like that translation, but I like another translation as well. And it says this, "Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." So Jesus practiced spiritual disciplines all throughout the Gospels. We'll go over what each of them are, but I'm going to briefly put some of these up on the screen if we want to go to the next slide. And so why do we do these spiritual disciplines such as prayer, fasting, corporate worship, Bible reading, solitude, silence, service, meditation? Thank you. What's the purpose of them? Well, disciplines are to train you, and they're to, you know, help you improve as a person. And as Christians, we have salvation in Jesus. But when we're saved, God's not done with us. He still has more work he wants to do in us. And so we have an opportunity to grow and change and become even more of a clearer reflection of Christ this side of heaven. And so, no, spiritual disciplines aren't the thing that's going to save us. However, the habits we keep shape us and affect who we are. If you go to the gym every day, that affects you. It changes who you are. You're now an athlete. You're someone who works out. If you read every day, you are a reader. If you play music on a regular basis, you're a musician. And so doing these spiritual practices help shape us into who we are and who we become. And so there's a saying in the business world that it's along these lines, but it says your systems are perfectly designed to give you exactly what you're getting. And so if we want spiritual growth, we have to have systems in place that form habits for us in order to grow. And the good news is for us, we don't have to come up with these on our own. Jesus gave us an example to follow. And this means practicing spiritual disciplines regularly. If you only worked out once every 6 months, it's not going to get you anywhere. In fact, it might just kind of hurt. I don't know. But do we do that with our Bible reading? Do we do that with our prayer life? Jesus not only gave us this example in Scripture to follow, he also commanded us to do it and to train others to do it. And so I'm sure many of you are familiar with the passage of Scripture, the Great Commission. A commission is a charge or a job to do. And Jesus gave this to his disciples, and this is what he said. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 18, starting, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now, we might be very familiar with this passage, and maybe we've heard it 100 times. But I specifically want to point out an important part of this passage. In verse 19, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." This is what we, you know, commonly refer to in church as evangelism, like spreading of the gospel, telling people about Jesus. But sometimes I think we stop there, and we think, okay, that's our commission, that's our charge, is to tell people about Jesus and evangelize. But I think sometimes we neglect verse 20, which says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. See, this part in church, we call this part of this commission discipleship. And discipleship is the training up of people in their faith. Remember, God saved us, but he's not done with us. He wants to continue a work in us. And that's what discipleship is all about. It's this training to be disciplined in spiritual practices and growing in our faith and our knowledge and all of that. And so it is the practice of spiritual disciplines that help form us and shape us more and more like Christ. However, it's not the practices themselves that, you know, change us. It is the interaction with Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that affects us and changes us. So don't mishear me. It's not that the disciplines or the works of the law and all of this can save us or something like that, but it's the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines that help us interact with Christ, and then the Holy Spirit who shapes us. But these practices aid us in our relationship with him. So currently, I've been taking some Bible classes to pursue ordination. And one of the classes that I took recently was called The History and Polity of the Nazarene Church, which, long story short, it's kind of how our church government runs and sort of the theology that we hold. And I had known that our church kind of started out of something called the Holiness Movement. But as I took this class and I kind of like learned about the Holiness Movement, it really developed in me this deep conviction of the beauty that is the call to holiness that we have as Christians. And our textbook for the class was called Our Watchword and Song. And our watchword and song is holiness. And again, it's that idea that when God saves us, he's not done with us. He wants to continue a work in us to call us to holiness. And so I have this analogy that I think of when I think of the work God does in us. And that is, if we like to think of ourselves as just like, you know, if you just stick with this with me for a second, but if you picture yourself as just like a piece of granite or a piece of stone, and that piece of stone was going to be crushed, it was going to be turned to gravel and all of that, but then an artist saves that piece of granite from the crusher and decides, like, this stone is going to be a piece of art. And so in this analogy, like, we're this piece of granite, and God is this artist, and Jesus died for us, so we're saved. We're not going to be crushed. And so what he does is he begins to chisel at the granite. And at first, our major outline is made. And so you become a Christian, and you start to weed out some of this major sin in your life. And over the course of your life, God's going to begin chiseling away some of the things in our life that aren't very much a reflection of Christ. And as he does this, a more beautiful image emerges. And so God is this artist, and we are made in the image of Christ, and so he's making this this more beautiful image to look more and more like Christ. And so over the course of our lives, that lying habit's going to get chiseled out. That lusting habit's going to get chiseled out. That, you know, pride is going to get chiseled out. And so when I first became a Christian, like, my struggles were more overt. You know, I was a teen when I got saved, and I thought being a Christian meant having to follow rules that meant no fun. But however, as I submitted to the process of this chiseling, of this call to holiness, to this shaping of the Holy Spirit, God began convicting me and challenging me and changing me. And I'll just be vulnerable here for a moment. Like, recently, I felt very convicted over, you know, the way that I spoke to people. And I felt convicted that I was more speaking at people rather than with people. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit sort of revealed to me this selfishness that I had inside of me. And so I feel like as we mature and grow as Christians, it's more these deeper character flaws we have that begin being addressed and being chiseled. And so when we're obedient to Christ, when we're growing in holiness, then over the course of our lives, like, we should continually be growing. And so sometimes we neglect our relationship with Christ, and our prayer life starts to look a little parched. Like, we attend church, we, you know, pray at meals, but our Bible's looking a little dusty, and maybe a little bit of sin's creeped in, but it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's just a movie. It might have some bad stuff in it, but oh well. You know, it's fine. I'm not a prude, you know, but I don't care about being called a prude for not partaking in the entertainment of the world, because sometimes we're weird as Christians because we don't do the things that the world always does. And sometimes I think that we've lost our, like, ability to be weird. We don't want to stand out. And obviously, you know, I'm not saying be weird, like, you know, singing in the elevator or something, freaking everybody out. but you know, it's okay to be weird in the sense, oh man, I don't know if I'm talking too loud. But it's good to be weird in the sense of being set apart, being different. And that's really what holiness is to be set apart. And so, you know, actually, it's this weirdness that can often actually impact those around us. People might ask, why do you spend the first 10 minutes of your lunch break reading the Bible? Don't you just want to zone out? And, you know, when you say something like, well, you know, when I read my Bible, it's actually more restful for me. And they're like, what? You know, and boom, that's like an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. So we don't need to be afraid of being called weird or, you know, being a little bit different, because we're called to this journey of holiness. And so we're going to talk about these spiritual disciplines and kind of just show how Jesus modeled them for us. And so the first one that we're going to talk about is prayer. At least 25 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read of Jesus praying. And that's just the times that are recorded. But according to Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus prayed often by himself. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In other words, he made a habit of it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his followers about prayer, specifically about, like, their private prayer life. And in Matthew 6, or verse 6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If such prayer times were so important to Jesus, they need to be a vital component of every believer's life. So the next spiritual component is, or spiritual discipline is fasting. And at the onset of Jesus' ministry, right before he was going to begin his major work of ministry, he took 40 days to fast in the wilderness, right before he was about to be tempted by the devil. And while it made his body physically weak, spiritually he grew stronger. And so in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, after this trial in the wilderness, after he just spent this significant time fasting, it says this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. So through this fasting, like, this power of the Spirit was just evident through him. And fasting is also a way that we remind ourselves of our dependency upon God. And so we get caught up in the busyness of life, and we often forget that we actually do need God. And fasting is a physical reminder of that, a training of our brain. Because if we didn't have access to food for 2 or 3 meals, like, you know, and you didn't know when the next meal was coming, we'd all be praying harder than we have prayed in a long time. And so fasting is this reminding and training our brain to remember that in reality, we are dependent upon the Lord. And Jesus also gave us the instructions to fast in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. He said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen." "And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." See, Jesus gave these instructions for fasting because it was the expectation that the disciples would partake in fasting, and it would be done differently than the hypocritical people he was referring to. So the next spiritual discipline is corporate worship. Corporate is kind of a weird term, but it kind of shares the same root with the word cooperation. And so when we use this word, what we're really talking about is coming together. And what we're talking about is Sunday morning service right here where we are. And this is the coming together of the whole body of Christ. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "On that Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom." And it's interesting to note that Luke also observes this in Paul in Acts chapter 17, verse 2, when he says, "As was his custom, Paul went to the synagogue." Corporate worship is a time to grow spiritually with others of our faith. And Jesus knew this, and as Christians, like, we follow his lead. Prioritizing corporate worship is a discipline. Again, we might look weird. People my age say, like, you wake up early on a day you don't have to work and you go do something you don't have to do. Like, it might be weird to people, but it is a discipline, and it's something that helps us grow in our relationship with the Lord. The next spiritual discipline is Bible reading. Studying scripture was an important part of Jesus' life. In fact, by the age of 12, he was already as biblically literate as the leading teachers. In Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, it says this, "Every year Jesus went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, he went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers." So even from an early age, Jesus was prioritizing reading of God's word, scripture. And for those of you who have children in the home, whether they're 2 or 17, we need to be modeling this and training our children up as well. If you're trying to train your children to brush their teeth every day, you actually have to do it with them in the beginning. And you have to model it and teach it. And if you take brushing your teeth, for example, do kids always want to do it? No. But we don't try and make it this forceful, miserable experience. Like, we try and make it fun. They have toothbrushes that sing to you now and all that. But really what we're trying to make it is such an automatic part of their lives that they don't even have to think about it. And so it just becomes a habit. And so with spiritual disciplines, do we pray regularly with our children? Do we have nighttime prayers? Is Bible reading a part of your family's routine? And a piece of advice I heard once was, if you don't know where to start with training up your children, put a Bible on the dining room table. And try reading a verse or two at mealtimes and talk about it. Reading the Bible early and often is foundational for the life of a believer. And this was not something that Jesus skipped. He relished in it and excelled at it. And we follow his example. The next spiritual disciplines, you can separate them. They kind of go together, so I put them together. But solitude and silence. Jesus regularly ministered to large crowds. He interacted with lots of people. But as we read earlier, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So he even encouraged his disciples to get away to a quiet place. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, it says, "Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" Finding a place of solitude and silence can be repairing to our souls, especially amid the hectic demands of life. Jesus knew this and he practiced it. And we don't always like to sit in silence because oftentimes we have to address the things we've been ignoring and deal with the things we've been avoiding. But perhaps that's exactly how God designed it, so that we would take some time to address the things that have been heavy on our hearts. And Jesus modeled these disciplines perfectly, providing a template for us to follow in our daily lives. And the interesting and cool thing about solitude and silence is that we're not actually alone, because we do have God with us. And so if that time of being alone scares us, we know that we're not really alone, or makes us have anxiety or something, because Jesus is with us. So the next spiritual discipline we're going to talk about is service. And so in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus said this, and his goal was coming to earth was not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life for our benefit. It's easy to overlook service as a spiritual practice that develops us. We just think of it as something we're to do, but it actually impacts us as well and affects us and our spiritual growth as well. And so the next time you serve in whatever capacity you do, think about how it relates to your own spiritual growth. I know on the times I've been on missions trips, we've been able to do awesome works, but it's honestly one of those things you leave feeling more blessed than you were able to bless, because you were glad to be doing it. And so when we serve, it teaches us things that we can't learn other ways. You know, you can read about driving from your driving manual, you can watch a video on it, all that, but until you get behind the wheel of a car, there's just something that's different. And so putting these wheels to our faith, it helps us understand things that we don't understand in a different way. And so service is a spiritual discipline. It helps us to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to experience what it is he wants us to do. So last spiritual discipline we'll talk about today is meditation. And while other religions teach meditation as a way to completely clear the mind, to completely just think about nothing, Christian meditation is focusing on God and on his word. And this is apparent throughout the Old Testament. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." It's clear that we do not practice meditation as thinking about nothing and opening ourselves up to just whatever comes into our minds. Instead, we actually contemplate God's word, what it means, and it impacts us once we are really thinking about these things. And there's not like an explicit scripture that I can point to where it specifically says Jesus meditated and used those words. However, it's likely one of the things he did when he went off to be alone, all those times he did. And in Matthew chapter 15, verses 16 through 20, Jesus said to his disciples, "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these things defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating and unwashed hands do not defile them." So he's saying that what comes out of our thoughts or our heart are evil. And we choose to direct our, so we have to choose to direct our thoughts to godly places, because left to our own devices, it's murder, adultery, just all these types of depravity that Jesus talks about. And Paul says it more directly in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, as a command to think of things that are of the Lord. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Those are some of the spiritual disciplines. So meditation being the last one, thinking about scripture and God's word. But when we practice these spiritual disciplines, we have this interaction with the Holy Spirit that helps us to grow. And we want to grow as a church. But I'm not just talking about numerical growth. Of course, you know, we want to grow because we want people to experience the life-changing power of Jesus. But I think if our goal is just numerical growth, we miss the point. Because the more that we pursue holiness, the more that we're shaped into the image of Christ, the more I believe we will grow numerically as a byproduct of that spiritual growth. I think our calling as Christians is twofold. We're called both to evangelize, grow the church numerically, but we're also called to discipleship, to grow the church spiritually. And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, it says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not grow weary of doing good, of practicing these spiritual disciplines." Sometimes it's hard to get up on a Sunday morning. Sometimes it's hard to get up early and read our Bibles. We may be thinking, but I've heard that Bible story 100 times. This song, I've heard it a ton, like it doesn't really affect me anymore. But verse 8 says, "Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." And so when we invest in our spiritual life, like we will reap a benefit from that. And so the question we ask ourselves, is it the Bible story that's stale? Is it the worship song that's stale? Or is it us? And so if that resonates with you today, then let's take a fresh start. And I don't say this because I'm perfect and I've got it all figured out, or I'm modeling every single one of these perfectly or something. I'm still growing. I still have tons of room to grow. So I'm not trying to hammer down and you know, make us feel terrible or something. But what I'm trying to do is motivate us towards growth. We all have room to grow. And it is that growth in Christ that will help us to change the world, to help us to impact Middletown. So as Christians, we need to be striving towards this and supporting one another in this. if you're the leader of a Sunday school class or if you attend one, are you practicing spiritual disciplines daily? Maybe not every single one of them, like fasting or something, but some form of spiritual disciplines daily. And do you know if your brothers and sisters in Christ are practicing these? And do they need accountability and support in these areas? Is there something maybe your small group, your Sunday school could do together to encourage one another, to help sharpen and spur one another on towards spiritual growth? I don't know what it might look like for you. Maybe it would be like, hey, for the next 6 weeks, let's all fast on Fridays and hold each other accountable to do that, just so that we can try and make that a more regular part of our spiritual lives. Or we're going to do this new study, and we've got, we're going to study the book of John, so we're going to try and all be accountable to read, chapter one before we get to class. And so I don't know what it might look like for you and your small group, but let's consider the people we have in our lives to encourage and ask ourselves, how might we spur one another on towards growth, towards holiness? And what spiritual discipline did we discuss today that might be needing some more emphasis in your own life? So with all that being said, will the band come on up? We're going to pray, and then we're going to do a song and all of that. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Father God, we come before you today, and we ask you continue to encourage us to invest where we need to invest, convict us of our sins, empower us to grow through the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. I pray that this church would support one another on this journey to holiness. You are a good Father. You take care of us and support us. Help us to steward the ability you have bestowed upon us, and help us to cultivate these spiritual disciplines so that your name may be glorified. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.